This morning, the Lord Jesus has given us another parable from Mark chapter 4. We're looking at this parable in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 25. The parable of the light that's covered with the basket. I think it's probably one of the most famous of Jesus's parables. Probably because in the 1920s it was popularized in a children's song that most of you know, and you know there's little hand motions that go with it as well. The parable is very, very simple in the way that Jesus presents it, but the implications of it are huge. The gospel implications are huge, and it ought to be an encouragement to everyone who is in Christ. I'm going to read the parable again. Mark chapter 4, 21 through 25. And we are to look to Christ for our help and for our understanding. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." So a simple question, the initial question, quite simple, then some profound or maybe more complicated grammatically statements that come following it. But a simple question that is the heart of the parable: does anyone light a lamp only to hide it under a bed, or to put a basket over it so that the light would be covered? This is Jesus' question for you today as we consider this question, a light hidden. And I want to begin this morning with our first heading, which we are going to call Light Exposed. Light Exposed. This is verse 21 of the parable. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or to be hid under a bed rather than to be put on to a stand? Now, when we hear that parable by the way of this question, the answer is obvious, right? The answer is obvious to you that a lamp is not intended to be hid under a bed or to have a basket put over it. And for all that would have heard Jesus at the time, the answer would have been obvious to them as well. No one would have thought that this is the intended use of the light. Now, the lamp here is something that you've probably seen before. The lamp is a clay bowl, and the ends are pinched so that it makes a shape that sort of looks like a gravy boat. And then there's a little wick that goes into the pinched end. There's oil in it. You light the wick, and that's the common lamp of ancient Palestine. It's actually noted, most of the commentators note, that it's the most common archaeological find in the ancient world. You go to Israel, you do some digging, and you find these lamps all over the place because they're well known. And Jesus asked this question: do we take that lamp? And they know exactly what he means. Do we put it under a bed, or do we put a basket on it? And the hearers are going to say, "Of course not. Of course that is not what we would do. Why would light be hidden?" You see, light is intended to be exposed. That's the purpose of light. That's what Jesus wants you to consider. Light is to be exposed. Now, Jesus uses this parable elsewhere in the Gospels as well. You may know it from the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 and 6, Jesus uses this parable to say, Christian, you are the light. You are the light. And your good works are intended so that the world may see them and give glory to the Father. You are to be light, and you're to be poor in spirit, and mourn for sin, and meek in the face of anger and aggression, and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and showing mercy to those that are in need, and pure in heart, and being peacemakers among men. But I want you to remember something. What I want you to remember is that in the Gospel of Mark, if I said to you, turn in the Gospel of Mark to the Sermon on the Mount, where are you going to go? The Sermon on the Mount is not in the Gospel of Mark. Now, why do I tell you that? I tell you that as a reminder that Jesus uses the same teaching in different places, and the same illustrations are used in different ways. Mark here records this parable, but he is not being intellectually dishonest. He's not just snagging it from the Sermon on the Mount and saying, here's the context that I'm going to pretend that this happened in. You see, Jesus, like any teacher or any preacher, will sometimes use the same illustration or the same story, or in Jesus' case, the same parable, in different times and for different purposes. Now, why is that important? Why did I just spend a couple of paragraphs of verbiage to tell you that Mark is using it differently than what Matthew is, or how Matthew is using it? Well, I think there's something profound here. And what is profound is that in the Greek, there is a definite article before lamp. That's not in Matthew. Matthew talks about a lamp. Mark talks about the lamp. Why is that important? It's important because in Mark's parable, the primary application, or the meat of what Jesus is trying to put forward, is that here, this parable is not about you. Now, Matthew is, he says that. But here, the parable is not about you. It is about Jesus. Jesus is the light in this parable. You remember John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, Jesus is the light shining in darkness, and darkness has not and will not overcome that light. In John 8, Jesus says, I, speaking of himself, I am the light of the world. In this parable, Jesus is speaking about himself. The lamp is Jesus. Now, where does Jesus get this idea? Does he just make this stuff up? Is he just, telling stories off the cuff? No, Jesus is using the scriptures, isn't he? In the Old Testament, we read from Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 says that this light is going to come, and he's going to come up to Galilee of the nations. And he's going to be this light for the nations to see, so that they may come and give glory to God. And it's used elsewhere as well. In 2 Samuel 22, we read, "You are my lamp, O Lord." Or Psalm 132, verse 17, speaking of the coming of the Messiah, that the horn of David will sprout, for God has prepared a lamp for the anointed. Friends, the scriptures put forth the Lord as that one who is the light for the nations, the light for you and for me, that we may look to him and live. Jesus is the light, and he's telling his people that he will be the light of the world, and darkness will retreat at his arrival and at his presence. Because that's what light does. Light causes darkness to go away. It retreats. It is overcome. And this is Jesus' purpose in the world, to overcome darkness. Now, where does that begin? Does that begin out there? Are we supposed to be like, you know, those that are always seeking to expose light out there, or darkness out there, and always focused out there? No, it begins here. It begins with the inward man or the inward woman, you looking at your own life and being reminded that even the depths of your own soul are unknown, and Jesus must come and be that light unto you. It is Jesus' purpose in the world to overcome darkness, and that begins in the hearts and minds of those that would come to him, those that look to the cross and live, those that are able to say that darkness has no lasting power over me. Why? Because of Christ. But I want you to notice that as Jesus is exposing himself as the light, and as you have received his light by trusting in his promises and believing the gospel and resting in that finished work of the cross, you then become light bearers. That's the Matthew 5 application. Christ is the light, and you too are called to carry the light. And Jesus exposes darkness, even through your works. But he asks this question, doesn't it? We see who he is. He as the light. There's this lamp. But he asks this question that I've already noted. And he says, concerning hiding light under a bed or a basket, he says, is that what it's for? And then look at verse 22. If you have your Bibles open, look at verse 22. Always encourage you to have your Bible open. It says, "For nothing is hidden except be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." So we turn our attention from light exposed, as Jesus says that he is the light, and he puts that forth for his hearers, to our second heading, which I'm calling light enclosed. Light enclosed. Does one take that light and and put a basket over it? Or does one take that light and hide it under a bed? Again, it's an absurd question. It's intended to be absurd as we consider it. Why would one do that? So why is Jesus saying that? He's telling us that his purpose as the Messiah, the one who's come to redeem even the nations of the world, that for his original hearers, that time is not now. As the King who has come, the time for him to show who he is to all around him, that time is not now. It will be manifest. The purpose of the kingdom will manifest itself, and Christ will be that light. Remember, the demons recognized Christ. They said, "Oh, you're the Son of God." And fishermen knew who he was. Come and see. Come and see the Messiah. Tax collectors recognized him. And Jesus has done something a few times so far in the gospel that kind of leaves us scratching his head. He says, don't tell anyone. You are the Son of God. Don't tell anyone. Those who have been healed recognized him. Don't tell anyone. So is the light hid under a basket? Is the light hid under a bed? No, you see, Jesus needs to press on to the cross so that he may secure salvation for God's elect. Verse 22, as we've read, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." It's as if Jesus is saying that light now may appear to be hidden, but it is going to show itself. That light will not stay in secret, but it's going to manifest. It's going to show forth even to the world who he is. And this is what happens, doesn't it? We know Christ is King. We know Christ is the sovereign. We know that he's been given a kingdom, and he's been given power, and he's been given dominion, and all of hell is in his hand, and all of the power over salvation is in his hand. And every tribe and tongue and people will bow the knee to Jesus. The scriptures say that kings will come bringing their gifts. We know that everyone will confess that he is Lord of lords, that he is King of kings. But what do we see in the Gospels? We see a servant that suffers, don't we? We see the one who Isaiah 53, and if you're reading the McShane Reader, Isaiah 53 was this morning's reading, and you see the man of sorrows who is acquainted with grief. We see the Son of Man who has nowhere to lay his head. We see the one who the religious leaders that have spent years in seminaries and years getting PhDs and spending their lives memorizing the scriptures and poring over the scriptures, they're able to look at the face of Jesus and say, "That is not him." We see a family that says he's gone out of his mind. It It's as if the world misses him. Is he under a bed? We're looking for the Messiah. Is he under a bed? We're looking for the Messiah. Has the light been hidden under a basket? Where is the light? Jesus says, be encouraged, saying, all that is hidden will be made manifest. All that is in secret will come to light. You see, the Lord Jesus would die, and these mocking words would be placed above his head. King of the Jews, in Greek and in Latin and in Hebrew. And the whole world, as it were, is able to look on to that Christ. And is there declaring who he is. All that is secret will come to light. He will be made manifest. He will suffer and die and be raised from the dead. And he will ascend to reign forevermore. Have you considered this Jesus? Have you bowed your knee? Have you bowed your heart? Have you come to this Christ, the one who was and who is to come? Or, as it were, does he remain hidden to you? You look at the scriptures and you come to church and you sit through family worship and you hear the stories about Jesus, and you just, in your heart of hearts, you just say, you know what, I just don't get it. I don't see what the big deal is. Is Jesus hidden to you? Young people, who is this Jesus for you? Is he dead for you? Does he reign over you? The light was enclosed for a season, but that must not remain. Jesus must shine forth. Jesus must come as the light of the world, for he has manifested himself. Even today, in your hearing, the light is exposed. The light is not hidden under a bed. I didn't come to hide the gospel from you or to hide Jesus from you. I've come that the light would be exposed, that it would be made manifest in your ears. You have heard of Christ, who is the light of the world. And that light that was exposed as Jesus is the light. And even for a time in redemptive history, seemed to be hidden. And maybe in your experience, there's a time when you say, you know, Jesus was hidden to me. But the promise of the scriptures is what we see in our third heading, that light will be extended. It will be extended. Verses 23 through 25, they seem quite cryptic compared to the simplicity of the parable. You read the parable and you got a little children's song that you can sing to it. But there's not a line in the children's song that talks about the measuring you use being measured and more added to you, and that which was given to those who have not. None of that is there, because it seems so cryptic compared to the simplicity of, here's a light. Baskets don't go on lights. Verses 23 through 25 says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus says, hear this. He says, listen. Romans 10 says that faith comes by hearing. Listen. Listen, hear of Jesus, who is the light of the world. And as this light is extended in this parable, what he does is he reminds you of the importance of hearing for you. Are you listening for Christ? Are you listening for the voice of Jesus in your reading of the scriptures and in your hearing of the preaching? Are you coming and saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus? And from this call to hear, he transitions into measuring. Notice that. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So it's as if you're hearing from this one, and you have something with which to measure what you hear, and that's being used for something. For the one who has this measuring, more will be given. What's he doing here? He's making a play on words in relationship to the basket. The basket is what we would call a peck. An 8-quart basket used for measuring dry goods. You know, you go to the market, you know, ancient world, much like in parts of the Middle East today, or if you're one that primarily shops at a farmer's market, you take your baskets with you. And if you're going to buy dry goods, whether that's grain or it's a flour or a spice, the way that you can do that is you can take your peck, your 8 quarts, and you can measure out what you're going to purchase, and then you're going to put those pecks and you're going to take those home with you. You're measuring out, you're receiving with that basket. You're harvesting, in a sense, from the market or from the fields. And Jesus says that basket that you use to gather will be used for your own good and for your own soul. That light, something that is to some hidden and yet to others revealed, it's a light that extends and it grows and it invites you through Christ to come and to participate in a harvest for your own soul. Another way that Jesus could have said this is, are you going to the market for your soul and bringing home goods that you may feed yourself? Are you investing in your soul? Are you investing in your spiritual life? Are you feeding yourself from the word? Jesus says, take that basket and just start measuring. Start taking that. Start collecting. Because it's there for you. It's yours. You see the light. Now begin to harvest, in a sense, from that light. Are you hearing? He says, take what you hear and use your basket and just fill that basket and use those goods for your own soul and for your own week. Extend that in your spiritual life because it's yours. It's yours for the taking. Friends, you may come here or listen from week to week and say, you know, I'm just, there's nothing I'm getting. I'm getting nothing. My first questions are always going to be putting it back on you. Not that I'm perfect. Not that I say, oh, well, I know what I'm doing. Do you know what you're doing? But the first questions are going to be, how are you using what you're hearing? Are you measuring what you're hearing and using that for the investment of your own soul? And that's true in so much of the spiritual counsel that you may hear or that you may give. Someone may come to me and say, Pastor, I don't think my prayers are being answered. And I'll say, well, are you praying? And I hear, well, no, I'm not praying anymore because my prayers aren't being answered. And you hear that connection. How can your prayers be answered if you're not praying? Pray more fervently. Be that persistent widow that comes and knocks on heaven's door. Or, Pastor, I'm not getting much out of the reading of my Bible. Well, what's your reading look like? Are you reading diligently? Are you seeking the meaning of the passage? Are you reading at a time in your day when you're fresh so that you can hear and so that you can listen and so that you can measure? You say, well, no, you know, I live this exhausting life and I work all day, and before bed I just lay down and I read for a couple of minutes from the Bible and I go to sleep. Or sometimes I hear that, you know, I just don't know what to read, so I just kind of open it and I start to read, and then the next day I just flip to another section and read. Are you measuring? Are you using that measure, that basket, to collect the goods that are needed for your soul? Because that light is to be extended. It's to be extended into your soul and then extended from you into the rest of the world. Pastor, I struggle with assurance. Well, are you pressing into Christ? Are you using the means of grace? Pastor, I can't overcome the sin. Well, what are you doing to fight the sin? Nothing. Congregation, Jesus sets out a basket for you. And he says, gather. Gather from that harvest. Pursue Jesus and mine the riches of the Word of God, because in your light shall we see light. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that basket with which we are the light gatherers, it will be filled with grace upon grace. You see, the Pharisees had a basket too. They had everything they needed. They had the seminary education. They had the right upbringing. Everything needed. And they bring their baskets to Jesus. And what do? They cover the lamp. They cover the light. They used it to cover Jesus so that he would not be seen. And Jesus says for you to pick up this basket, to let the light shine forth, and to go forward gathering and harvesting and using it at the market for your own soul. Grace measured out. William Hendrickson once said, he gives according to his riches, the riches of his grace. He imparts grace upon grace. He not only pardons, he pardons abundantly. He delights in loving kindness. When he loves the world. When he gives his son. Moreover, not only intercedes for his people, but he ever lives to intercede for them. Truly, he gives and he gives and he gives again. And congregation, that grace is there for you. And the warning is that when we don't use that basket, when we don't mine from the riches of Christ, Jesus tells us that that basket will be taken away and it will be given to those that will use it. Shine, shine, shine as Jesus, the depths of the riches of Christ are mined. Congregation, this is an invitation to bask in the glory of his grace. Because no one takes a lamp and hides it under a bed or a basket. That light of Christ is said to shine. I'm going to give you three quick applications as we close. The first is that since Christ is the light of the world and Christ is the lamp in the parable, the simple invitation is to come to the light. Come to Jesus with your sin and with your sickness. Come with the darkness from the depths of your souls and let the light expose that. Light is cleansing and healing. And Jesus offers himself to sinners who are in desperate need, even those that do not know the depths of their need. Just come. Come to Christ. Secondly, I would encourage you to be light. Be light in the church. Be light in your home. Be light in your community. There's so much darkness around us, isn't there? And for those of us that have just been watching the news cycles for weeks upon weeks, that's all the focus is on the darkness. Sickness and racial tension and systemic abuse. Be light, church. Be gospel light in all of those things. But as you do that, be reminded that the light you are called to reflect is the light of Christ. So stay close to the Word. Stay close to the Word in your home, in your community, and in the world. Jesus calls you to do this, and he attaches these great promises that are in Matthew 5, that people will see your good works and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. And lastly, one more application. Grow in grace. The Christian life is not magic. You don't come here and hear a sermon and some sort of like incantation happen in your soul and you grow spiritually. It's not how it works. There is a law of nature that says that we take out what we put in, right? And this is also a law of supernature. When it comes to our spiritual lives, we are going to get out also what we put in. Look for Jesus. As you sing the Psalms, look for Jesus. Be diligent as a hearer when it comes to sermons. Plead for a renewed heart. Plead for a conscience that is tender. Simply use the means of grace that God gives. Because they're a basket. They're a basket that is going to get filled from week after week. And God says, this is here for your use. Harvest. Enjoy. Congregation is a lamp to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand. May Jesus shine forth. Amen.